I'm Johan. I'll be taking care of you for the next 50 minutes. I've been privileged to be part of this for a few years now. And big shout out to you that are watching all the simulcasts around the world, Europe, Asia, over the US. There are simulcasts all over the place. It's nice to be here. Now, as Kent said, if you're not on Twitter, get on Twitter. It's simply the best source out there to get up to date on content. And especially in times like this, when servicing, when Microsoft is picking up the cadence, when there are new releases every single week about something, could be a cloud something, which makes Cameron happy, or it could be an on-premise thing that will make guys like me happy. But the shorthand story is there are more updates now than ever. And we as an IT Pro community, we need to, of course, stay ahead of that and to be, you know, on the go at all the time. So please follow me on Twitter. Check the people that I follow, people like Kent, Jason, Cameron, posting really good stuff related to systems management and, of course, deployment. Now, this is me. This is where I live. Not on the beach, but close to the beach. Have about a mile from it, American mile, so it's not too far. The green thing is where I work. I'm a chief technical architect with Knowledge Factory. I basically spend my time traveling this blue planet of ours, helping customers implementing deployment solutions. And I've been doing that for a while, 26 years now, so it's been a fun ride. I absolutely love questions. We don't have room for an infinite amount of them during the session, but if you have any, just out with them. If you have questions after the session, feel free to contact me. I might not have seen everything, but I've seen a lot. So rather than you guys banging the head against the wall, troubleshooting something, shoot me an email. I'm pretty good in responding. When I'm not consulting, I try to do events like this. I write books. I do trainings. Keep busy. It's fun. The agenda for today is simple. Windows 10 deployment using both MDT and Config Manager. And this is just the highlight of tips and tricks, stuff that I picked up over the last few years doing Windows 10 projects, and of course now with the real versions of Windows 10 coming out. It's been interesting last 6 months since the release. Throughout the day, I'm going to use a demo environment, and the first demo will actually be setting up a demo environment based on MDT. This one is available for download. So if you want to spin up a lab environment real quick to want to test all the cool stuff that Wally and Kent are talking about, and soon also Jason will be talking about in Config Manager 15.11. There is a PowerShell script that builds it. A complete set of VMs just ready to roll, and you can start to play around and test the things. So if you only remember one thing, and one thing only from today, I would like that to be that you guys are worthy of a large solid-state drive in your environment. Because you can get any machine. It could be an old ThinkPad. It could be any machine, you know, 5-4 years old. You put a solid state drive in it. You add 16 gigs or more of RAM to it. And you actually have a lab machine that will outperform some of your servers because of the solid state drive. And you've probably seen this. I'm just trying to find argument for my manager here, but they released the 13 terabyte SSD. 16 terabytes are coming. The only downpit right now, or downfall, is the price, because it's between 13 and 19K each. Because you need to have a few of them, of course. But you don't really need that. What you do need is 1, 2, 3 maybe SSD drives. They don't have to be very big. Terabyte or less, even half a terabyte will do. Because of data duplication in Windows Server, you can actually have a bunch of VMs in a folder. I have a 1.2 terabyte of VMs, but they consume about 30 gigs of disk space. And it does not affect performance at all. So it's just a very good way to be able to have a lab, run server as an OS, get the SSD drive in there, and you can build any lab you like. So, demo, yes. On my blog, if you search for the keyword hydration And you can download a massive zip file. It's 136K in size. So it will fit on a floppy. Unfortunately, Windows 10 doesn't support floppy anymore. So if we could have a moment of silence for floppy. Done. Thing is, when you download this kit, what you get is a ready-made deployment chair in MDT. And if you look in the blog post, it will simply say, download this and extract it and run a PowerShell script. Because when you do, you get this folder structure. And then you will find instructions on the blog that says, copy files to locations. So there will be an instruction saying, hey, copy your SQL media to the SQL folder. Check. Copy the config manager media to the config manager folder. Check. And you continue to do that for a while until you have copied the 9 or 10 different items you need. Because what you do then is simply open up the workbench. You can do it in PowerShell, of course, if you like as well. You get to your deployment share, you get to your media, and you simply right-click that media and say, update media content. And it will create a bootable ISO out of that download, assuming you copy the right folders or right files to the right folders. Then you only need to do the following. You need to create a bunch of VMs. You can do it in PowerShell, you can do it in the GUI. If you look in the extra folder on the download, there are ready-made PowerShell scripts to do it. But of course, I can go in here and create a domain controller for Kent, Kent DC01. I store it somewhere. Of course, it will be generation 2 VM. Some memory for my domain controller, network, some hard drives, one hard drive. And then I simply take this Kent person's domain controller, connect it to a DVD drive, mount it on that ISO that was created for me, and start it. And wait patiently. Here we go. It's now booting on the media. And this works, of course, in Hyper-V. It works in VMware. It works on any virtual platform that supports bootable ISOs. And if you guys are using a platform that doesn't support ISOs, maybe time to switch to something else. So, what to select? How about the domain controller? You select the domain controller, you hit enter. In 22 minutes, you have a domain controller. You leave it running. You start another VM. You pick something else, like the config manager server, because after an hour and 10 minutes, you have a site server, fully configured. Pretty neat. Because behind all this, and I'm just going to turn this one down or off, simply standard sequences. A sequence that builds a domain controller. Normal light touch deployment. But in the end, it configures DNS, it installs Active Directory, it installs DHCP, creates the scope, and creates some users and subnets, and installs PKI if you need one. Simply does everything for you. And it's ready-made, it's tested. Same goes with the Config Manager Site Server, 1511. Same story here. Standard sequence, installs the Config Manager prereqs, ADK. And important part here is you need to be on, of course, this version for Config Manager, this version for Light Touch. They didn't quite got everything right for Config Manager. Set the install SQL, firewall, memory, install or extend Active Directory, install the site server. Everything fully automated. Simple as that. Create a few VMs, boot it on the ISO, and you have a lab environment. The way I typically run these lab environments, I have them on an internal switch. But what if these VMs, what if I wanted to play out or test these servicing and upgrades that Ken talked about? So I need internet access on my VMs that are isolated. How do I get that without putting them on an external network? Well, how about using virtual routers? This is a Linux-based one, Vieta. I use that all the time. You can also do it with Server 2012 R2. It's just a VM with a bunch of network cards, and I'm simply, you know, connecting them to different cards on my machine. Another thing you can play around with is actually VLAN tagging in Hyper-V. You can buy a $65 Netgear switch on Fry's that supports VLAN. And you can configure Hyper-V so that those isolated VMs are actually talking to, say, three of the ports on that real Netgear physical switch. So now you can test real deployments, hardware, on real machines without having the network grouping upset on you because you have a DHCP server running. Because again, that one is isolated to those three ports on that switch. Very easy to configure. VMware has the same options as well. So again, request that SSD. If you get any arguments about it, tell them I told you. First name is Johan, easy to pronounce. Last name is interesting to pronounce. So now we have this platform up and running. Let's start to do Windows 10 deployments. And the first thing you need, still, to this day, is a reference image. Not for all type of deployments, because the in-place upgrade still requires the Microsoft media. Can't have any servicing on it, can't have any applications on it. But it's only for that scenario, which maybe 20-some percent of customers are using. The other 80% of the deployments are still bare metal. They are still refresh, they are still replays. And for those scenarios, yes, you need a reference image. And of course, you want to automate everything. So let me show you my process to build a reference image. And it's high tech, so stay with me here. I will open up a PowerShell prompt. I will go to a folder. I will run a script. I will have a break for an hour and a half. Because after about 90 minutes, I have a reference image up on my site server. This is called Image Factory. This PowerShell script is obviously available for download, but I'm going to break it for now and kill that VM. And instead show you that script. It's not very magical. It's a PowerShell script that creates a VM about here. Mounts it on an ISO, starts it, wait until it completes, and then deletes it. Behind the scenes, I'm using MDT LightTouch, which I recommend that you use for your config manager reference images. Why? Because it always bloody works. That's why. It builds the best reference images you can imagine. You can use it for LightTouch, you can use it for config manager, you can use it for VMware, you can use it for virtual machine manager, you can use it for anything that can apply a WIM file. Because you can also take that WIM file and apply to a VMDK file. To VHDX file, so you can use your normal library processes when cloning machines real quickly. But it's the same process. The process looks like the following. Install MDT, install ADK10, build 1511, or 10.5.86. You add in the apps that you want to have. For example, a few runtimes, if you want to have them, you add them in. You add in the image, in this case Windows 10, you just import it. This is the 1511 release imported. Next thing, create sequences and configure these sequences to install any of the apps that you want to have. .NET Framework 3.5 and all the 12 or so different runtimes that are available of C++. Because this is simply a sequence that builds everything, installs the apps, runs Windows Update against your local WSUS server to which you have approved the one or two Windows 10 updates that are needed. you don't need anymore. Updates in Windows 10 are cumulative. So this means that, for example, the January update for Windows 10 includes everything backwards. So you only need the latest one, and sometimes you need a servicing stack update too. But that's rare. It's not every month, but sometimes you do. And then you allow the sequence to simply, hey, capture it when it's done. Run sysprep and store it as a WIM file on the server. To get this automated, you're using rules server side. You're simply saying, hey, skip my sequences, skip asking for capture, and instead you would simply define what sequence you would like to have. Task sequence ID equals something. That's how you do the server side automation. Then I have a partner in crime, the deployment bunny, Mr. Michael Nystrom. He has a fantastic blog post around reference images and the image factory process. And by the way, don't tell him, just keep us between, you know, this close group of people. That I said it was great, it will be unbearable. He wrote a PowerShell script that not just builds one sequence, it loops through every sequence that you have on your deployment chair and builds a reference image for each. So it will build Windows 7's ones, Windows 10's ones, Windows Server ones, everything you need. And you can schedule this. So every month you have a solution that just spits out images that you can start test, and once tested, you put them into production. So PowerShell is king, building a reference image. Deploymentbunny.com. He still threatens me by, at some point in his career, showing up in a bunny suit on stage. And you will know when that happened, because that will be the day I will go to jail, probably, for tripping a bunny on stage, or maybe just reducing the air intake a little bit. Anyway, so you have your reference image. Then what? Well, it's time to actually deploy it. The only solutions out there that fully support Windows 10 deployment and management, that is Config Manager 1511, and that is MDT 2013 Update 2. Technically, Update 1 actually kind of works with 1511, but they haven't tested it. And since the templates are the same, I say yes, use Update 2, because that one has been tested with 1511. And of course, as mentioned here earlier today, for updates, you can use an old WSUS server, but to support servicing the Windows 10 upgrades, well, you need to be on 2012 or 2012 R2 for your WSUS component or the subcomponent. So just do that upgrade. So on the site server, I will connect to my Config Manager site server, 1511. So here I have a few sequences. I have an upgrade sequence that I'm using, of course, for in-place upgrades. This sequence is using an operating system upgrade package, which is simply a default image of 1511 that I imported to this location. Now, okay, cool. There is a sequence ready, built into Config Manager, that will do the in-place upgrade. What's missing here? Any idea? No? No? What about drivers? The in-place upgrade does require drivers. It will break if it doesn't find any. Often it can use what it finds on the machine, but sometimes it can't. So what if I have an 8560 from HP, and the drivers are not available? How do I get them into this process? Well, technically, I can go down here and say, all right, please, when looking for drivers, check this package. And this is obviously a driver package I have in Config Manager. That's one way of doing it. But that would mean you would have to have, like, you know, five different copies of this one, you know, with different conditions on each. That's not the way it works or should work. Instead, what I recommend to do is to use a new feature in Config Manager 15.11, and that is in software, there is a download package content thing, and it does that. So I will add that in, and when adding that in, I simply select my driver package. Here we go. And then I will add a condition to say, hey, if the model, whoops, I can't type, equals HP, EliteBook, 8560, W, then download this content. And while you're at it, assign a variable, my happy drivers. Because then in the other step, I can say, hey, look for drivers. Stage content, the option is use a variable. So, okay, so the variable is this. What should I type here? Doesn't like this. Percent, maybe? It's a good idea. Of course, it won't work, but it's a good idea. 01, yes. This, I've been told, will eventually be added to the documentation, that you need to put a 01 in the end of it for it to work. And the reason is it's basically an array, because you could technically, you could download multiple packages or multiple steps, obviously. But this is what you need to set, and then you're good. So as long as you're okay with this, you now have a sequence that, if needed, will copy some drivers, and then it will kick off the upgrade process, and setup will be happy. Now, then, of course, we have normal sequences, the one we use for our bare metal, for our refreshes, for our replay scenarios, except for the backup part, obviously. Now, the interesting part, I'm using the MDT template, of course, as you see here with Config Manager, and it's been broken for about 4 years now. I wrote a blog post back in 2012. I called it the Config Manager Uber Bug, or the template Uber Bug. You can see the date here, it's December 7, 2012. It's been in release notes of every MDT release ever since. They still haven't fixed it. And it's not that bad, really. It just used to be 6 broken things. Now it's only 3 broken things. So let me show you how to fix those. In the default template that you create, you simply need to do some changes. You need to change this guy over here. Set variable. Set it to true. And it will make sure that all your Windows 10 and your Windows 7 and your Windows Server deployments actually end up on the C drive rather than on the other drive. That's one thing. The other thing to fix is also to specify an OU. It can be anything, but you need to do this to make sure that Config Manager can actually change it on the fly if needed. For example, a very common configuration for Config Manager is to have an .ini file that you feed the sequence with that simply will behave differently depending if you are deploying a laptop or a desktop. It's the same sequence, but Config Manager will do different things. In this case, as you can see, it will assign different OUs depending if it figures out if you are a laptop and desktop. And this is something the Config Manager sequence will do automatically. You just need to tell it what to do with the information. But this won't work unless you set a dummy value back in your sequence here. But if you do, life is good. And the final thing is for the replay scenario. Because the replay scenario is going to be used quite a lot for Windows 10 deployments and is already used quite a lot for Windows 10 deployments. For example, it can help you overcome the limit of going from a BIOS-based machine to a UEFI-based machine. Something the in-place upgrade cannot do on its own. But Mike Terrell with 1E actually has a nice blog post that explains this. You treat it as a replace even though it's the same machine. So you have one sequence that will simply go out to the machine, your existing Windows 7 box, and run a backup. And in the end of that process, after verifying that the backup was, you know, happy and done, it simply configures the BIOS, switches it from BIOS to UEFI. It will wipe the drive, of course, kill the partitions, but you don't care at that point because you have the backup. And you also configure it to Pixie Boot the next time. Because if you're lucky, the hardware that you're using has a config for it. At next reboot, please Pixie Boot. So the machine will reboot, Pixie Boot, but now it's configured for UEFI. And the default sequence will detect that and automatically configure it for UEFI. There are about 10 features in Windows 10 that requires UEFI. The most noticeable ones are for security and for speed. Startup, shutdown, hibernate, resume, things like that. So it is a very common scenario. And think of it. Most of you are replacing machines every year anyway. So you need to have that scenario. And the replay scenarios is, again, I think it's interesting because if I would work as a tester at Microsoft, and I learned that there are four scenarios that our product supports. In place, bare metal, refresh, and replace. And that the replace is a backup and then a restore of something. Shouldn't be, you know, verifying that restore works, should be on the checklist somewhere on my tests. Doesn't work. Doesn't do the restore. Does the backup just fine. Doesn't restore it in the end. So going back to my blog post, you'll find step-by-step guidance on how to do that. Simply search for Uberbug on my blog and you'll find it. But it's so easy. You simply add two actions to the template. And then you're done. So imagine you actually create a sequence like this. You're very happy with it. And then you have a team member who is envy of your nice sequence. So he or she accidentally deletes it. How do you get it back? Or if you do something stupid to a sequence and you regret it later, how do you get that change back? Well, welcome to the site recovery process. Restore a backup of the site server. To get back a sequence? That's no fun. How do you do it? Export, import using PowerShell. Very happy you said that. So this is a PowerShell script that you can download from my blog. If I run the first 13 lines of it, it's going to export my current sequences to a folder. As you can see, it's currently empty. If I run this, these lines, takes about 2 seconds. How long does it take to export a single sequence using the UI? 45 minutes. This is faster. I have my sequences here. This is my backup. If I want to create a new one, I will open up a PowerShell prompt. I will run the import script, specify site code, sequence name. We have a theme here at SCU that you're supposed to have a Star Wars something in the presentation, so Windows 10 for BB-8, the small character I bought just before Christmas. Fancy little robot, I love it. And I simply specify the input file. So now I will pick my Windows 10 sequence, which was this one, number C, because in the config manager console, that was indeed my sequence ID or package ID for the sequence. So I will hit enter and I've imported my backup. So if I refresh this, I should go from 5 to 6 sequences. One is for BB-8. And this is an exact copy, a replica of my existing sequence, even though it was integrated with MDT. I have another good friend in Germany, in Celle outside Hannover. His name is Mike Koster. He has written a small script that is an event handler to Config Manager. Every time someone edits a sequence, it will run that script to back up the sequence to an XML file, adding a version number. So at any given time, you can simply restore that sequence or just go back to something that you knew worked 3 months back down the road. So this is powerful. So that was Config Manager sequences. I actually run them two side by side, these demos. So then, of course, you want to make sure that things are working smoothly when you do Windows 10 deployments. And one of the nicest features in Config Manager is the ability to do real-time monitoring. You get that through the MDT integration. It's very difficult to set up. No, it's not. You simply find your workbench, you go to the monitoring node, and you check that checkbox. That will install a small database, install a web service, and then life is good. So what I can do here is I can start a deployment, and this could be a Lightcast deployment, could be a Config Manager deployment, works the same way. But I'm just going to do a Lightcast one because it's lightning fast. So I will pause my site server for a bit because having multiple Pixie servers on the same network is, interesting. So I'll start up an empty VM. Wait for it patiently. Enter for Pixie. It's booting WinP in about, 5, 6, 7 seconds. And this is because I increased the block size a bit on my TFTP server. So this is also light speed deployment. The light speed jump from Millennium Falcon. Figure I need to have something more in my presentation. So now, Mr. Cameron, I have fulfilled my duty of adding Star Wars stuff to my session. Check. I will log in. Production deployments, I normally require authentication. And it's especially interesting in LightTouch because I can use this to display different lists of sequences depending on who logs in. For Config Manager, I need a web service for that. I will show you that later. But this is built into LightTouch. So I will log in. I will select my Windows 10 sequence with Office 2016 in it. I'll give it a name, SCU8886. Next, I also like Adobe Reader, thank you. And then I start my deployment. But now, if I go back to my console, or a machine where I have installed the console, I will now have that machine running in real time. And I can simply double-click it to get more details. And I can also use Dart to remote into it during deployment. And actually, I can interact with it. Press F8 to do troubleshooting, open the log files, add in CM trace, whatever I need to do. Config Manager, as well as LightTouch, works the same way. Of course, you need to have Dart, but it's part of MDOP. And if you required MDOP before or after August 1st last year, it's now included. Well, they raised the price also, but it's now included in your software assurance, which is nice. But short and store is a very convenient way to get monitor up and running. As my slide said, if you do this before update 1, do not have a temp folder on your C drive because it will kill that site server. It's going to start logging to that folder. My record so far is 5 gig per day log files into a folder. So you guys do the math. Amount of free space divided by 5 will give you how number of days your site server will live. They fix that now by simply uncommenting or commenting out that section that does the logging. So you can do that, of course, in earlier versions too. So that was the demo of monitoring. Now, what about settings? Well, we need to supply them one way or another. Settings like computer names, applications, Active Directory OU, domains, whatever type of setting we want to have, we can add in multiple ways. This is, of course, an extremely silly little setting. setting a computer name. Don't do that like this. But how about maybe do something simple? Generate computer names by using one of the many built-in variables. Very simple setup. And I can simulate this. I can do a what if. If you search my blog for simulation, you'll find a PowerShell script that will do the following. It will test this. And of course, I need to change the div section name. Glad I caught that before running the script. Otherwise, this would have been an embarrassing demo. But I will go to that folder on the right drive, too, and run the script. And in about 5-6 seconds, it will simulate the deployment and tell me that if I would have deployed this machine, it would indeed have assigned the name PC dash and the serial number. And I can do this with every setting. I can do advanced stuff, like different settings depending on hardware. For this HP, I will install the Bluetooth application model application in Config Manager. But for this 8540, I will install the HP Hotkeys package, a legacy package in Config Manager that I probably migrated over from CMO 7 into Config Manager V11 or 1511. I can also set screen resolution. But again, I can test this, simulate this. Same goes with the one I showed you before, depending if it's a laptop or desktop. I can simulate what if I would deploy something like this. So I can open up the PowerShell prompt, run the simulation, and I will check the result. And I can see that if I would have deployed this machine, it would have received that name, the laptop's OU on my server or domain, and the following three apps. Two of the apps, because they were in the default section of my ini file. Everybody gets those. But since it was a laptop, I will also add in the VPN client. Again, same sequence, just behaves differently depending on how you deploy it. Okay, let me kill this one for now. And the thing about applying these settings, you can use more than the ini file. You can have the ini file reach out to a database. So for example, if you have an ini file that looks like this, here, you've added some lines to the ini file to talk to this SQL server, to that database, using that protocol, using that, well, it says table, but it's really a view on the database. This will inform the sequence to construct a select star from whatever it needs to go to. And then you're done. Simple as that. Another thing I would like to highlight, you can use the same thing with web services. You can have managed code running server-side on your site server. If I can find my site server again. Helps if I resume it from the pause. It's a Hyper-V thing. I can add in web services that, for example, reaches into Active Directory to list me OUs, to list sequences from Config Manager, to move an object from one OU to another during deployment. Things that are quite impossible to do just with or hard to do without server-side components running this. And if you search for CodePlex, the keyword is MDT, you will find 150 ready-made web services that you can use together with Config Manager to achieve things you normally cannot do with Config Manager. So of course, as a final shameless plug, the Stealing with Pride book. It's about 300 pages on just how to develop things, OSD solutions for Config Manager. And I also have a Windows 10 book out that is just actually back in stock at Amazon. It was sold out for 2 weeks, which of course is great for my retirement plan on Fiji, but not so good for everybody who tried to buy it. So, Cameron, with that, thank you guys for having me and have a great conference.